Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Everyone, this is Phil Yeager, and welcome to CPA Review and More. This is my podcast, Phil Yeager's podcast. And as you know from watching or listening to the prior podcasts, we cover CPA Review. That's what we're doing today. And the more means we also have guests on. Well, I have a guest on, but he's also a friend of mine and I say co-teacher, all right, Ron Primoroso. But today, I would say this is so important, okay? No, we're not going to talk about Bitcoin, all right? Ron's not going to talk about Bitcoin. No, we're not going to talk about artificial intelligence, all right? Because I'm starting to find that there's a lot of that going around, all right? So please listen to this. It'll help you. And as we go through here, Ron will have some wonderful comments to share with you, the students. So anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce Dr. Ron Primoroso. We just call him Ron, all right? Ron really, I would say, is an expert in the CPA exam. Now, the one part he claims he's not an expert in is the regulation part, all right? Ooh. But he has stopped taking his tax return to H&R Block, so now he's become an expert in taxes regulation. So, Ron, we have our first slide here. And by the way, might I say, these are good-looking presentations here. All right. The first slide deals with, Ron, CPA exam changes, Beck, and auditing. All right? I'll let you take it away.
And we're going to focus on those, Phil. And these are effective July 1, 2021, right? Because the AICPA has changed the blueprints as of that date. We're going to go through in a little bit of detail the new blueprints that have been added to both of these parts of the exam, those that have been modified and simplified in the blueprints, and then finally a list of topics that have been eliminated from these two parts of the exam, okay? And again, we want to emphasize to our audience that our review materials focus solely on what you need to know from the blueprints, okay? That is our priority, and we are the best, we believe, at doing that.
Other course, all right, integrates the blueprints with their text, their notes, okay? They're still doing the old content specification, which Ron can explain to you. I think you get to it, all right? Yeah. So go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, so please get in touch with us. We have a slide here with our address. If you don't want to drive to Rockville, we have some phone numbers there that you can contact us directly. And of course, our infamous website, which is really a fabulous website where you can get a lot of information about Yeager, our products, our services, our videos, et cetera, and why we are so successful in helping candidates pass this exam over 40 years.
So, Ron, if I interrupt you, you know, coming from New York, all right, we would call that fabulous. Fabulous.
Go ahead. Fabuloso, right?
Fabuloso, hey.
So, Phil, why don't you tell them about the blueprints here, okay? Because you're the man of the blueprints.
I'd be happy to. First of all, the blueprints came around because of this reason. The CPA exam was basically asking items over and over again, all right? They didn't come up with new questions, and people were just passing the CPA exam just by going over old multiple choice. And the Big Four went to the AICPA and said, you know, we have people who have passed the exam, and they just don't really understand the material. So we get the idea, AICPA, that you're just teaching them to memorize the old questions. And it was discussed between the Big Four and the AICPA Examination Division that we had to change this. So they did a few changes. One, they eliminated the old content specification. All right. The content specification was basically this. It said, all right, if you look to financial accounting, it said we're going to test business combinations. We're going to test statement of cash flows, all right? But they really weren't specific concerning what tasks they wanted you to know about those items. So they went into looking at critical thinking. And critical thinking means higher level, all right? You have to know how to prepare something. And really, you have to look at yourself as a CPA who's going to a client and is going to prepare some type of document, whether it's a statement of cash flow, a balance sheet. And you have to know when you go into that client, you're not going to go to the client and say, hey, I got to prepare a balance sheet. What do I need? No, you're going into the client and you're going to tell the client what you need to prepare the balance sheet. So that's higher level critical thinking, knowing what you need to prepare certain informations. And then they came out with the tasks, all right? T-A-S-K-S, the tasks that you must know to prepare the items the CPA seems to be feel that and a CPA should know, all right, how to prepare for the clients, for the public, so forth and so on. So they came up with these blueprints and they call them maps. And remember, your map has to take you to being a CPA. So the blueprints are the maps that tell you the tasks you have to know, all right, to pass the CPA exam. And the thing is, they can't test you on anything other than what's in the blueprints, all right? That's what they say. And I'll tell you, the blueprints have made this exam to me, all right, easier to understand what you're doing. And Yeager CPA Review always thought, we're going to teach you to know what you have to do, all right, to do something. Understand the concepts. Don't memorize things. And by the way, you don't have to do thousands and thousands of multiple choice, all right? The AICPA Examination Division has stated that. Also, the AICPA Examination Division has stated that when it comes to the large problems, I think of them as case studies or the task-based simulations, all right? They want you to treat them as case studies, which means you have to know what you need to get the information, all right, to prepare your, whatever it is, to prepare for the audit, that type of thing. So the blueprints really specify and make it quite clear what they want you, the CPA candidate, to know in order to pass the CPA exam. And it says here, it helps advise educators about the skills and knowledge the student needs to be complete licensure, and it helps with the development of exam questions. Now, let me tell you something. The questions that are released to us, the course providers, we get the same questions. We pay the AICPA a royalty for the use of their questions. So they're not going to repeat those questions. And all you really want to do is to do some multiple choice to see if you can apply it to specific concepts. That's really it. All right. And also the task-based simulations. They don't release that many to us, the course providers. If they release a task-based simulation, it's one that was a pre-test problem, all right? They tried it out. No one could do it, or most of the people could not get it correct, and they just released it from the test bank, all right? So those are the task-based simulations that we can look at if they release it to us to get an idea just how a task-based simulation works. And if you want to know how a task-based simulation works, as well as the multiple choice, you can go to the AICPA.org website and they have sample simulations and sample multiple choice. And remember, those were given to you, the candidate, by the AICPA Examination Division. So I just want to mention the thing that makes us different on the bottom of this screen, Yeager CPA Review. We feature 100% of the AICPA blueprint integration. It's interesting, all right? I watch these webinars AICPA puts on, all right? And they always have questions they ask. And they say, what percentage of the people who are watching this webinar, all right, know what the blueprints are? On the last webinar I watched, 45% of the people did not know what the blueprints were. Why? Because none of the other courses really stress the need to know the blueprints. And they also define the representative tests that the AICPA expects you to know, all right, which is the backbone of the Jaeger CPA review course. So once again, I will turn this back to Ron, all right? And Ron, it's all yours.
But Phil, before we do...
Ron, is that a blueprint?
Directly from the beautiful Jaeger books, Phil, okay?
It is. And by the way, we dust them off at least once a week.
And Phil,
yes,
I have to let you do it, Phil, because you know I can't do tax.
Well, this is probably one of Ron's favorite subjects. He's requested me to do them quite often, and I generally don't take requests, but, you know, I said, Ron, I will do this for you. So here is a page from our book, which is the regulation book, and it is property transactions. All right, and here's the notes. And then as you go through the pages in our book, all right, every once in a while a blueprint comes up. That's the copyrighted blueprints of the SCPA, all right? And they tell you, what tasks do I have to know in property on this section? Well, they want me to know, how do you calculate the tax basis of an asset, all right? That's what you have to know. And then we have all the information that will tell you how to do that. So we have the blueprint, and then we explain all the information within the blueprint in order for you to pass that particular part of the exam, all right? And I think that covers it. And also, I just want to point out one else to you, all right? If you look above the blueprint, all right, you'll see we have multiple choice. That's area 3, questions 1 through 6 in area 3. And those are sample multiple choice that we will do with you in the classroom. We have a whiteboard, the old whiteboard, okay? All right, and we do the problem with you. Now you could do this, shut off the pause the button, all right? You wanna try the question first by yourself, then do it. Or you can actually do the question as I present it on the board, all right? Hey, this is old time teaching, but you know what? I am told by just about every student, he says, the thing he likes about a course is it's where we teach the concepts. We explain why you're doing something, all right? And I have to say, there is some memorization in anything, okay? You have to memorize a list of items, whatever. That you can't avoid. But we want you to know why you're doing certain things. And we mention them throughout the streaming video. It's like coming to our class. So now, Ron, I did that for you because you wanted it. So now I will turn it over to you, Ron. Take care, Ron. I'm going away for Christmas. No, it's not Christmas yet. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Phil, let's start with an exam overview for BEC. And what you can see there are still five areas of BEC, right, that are tested in the blueprints on the exam for BEC. But what I've highlighted there in bold type is you can see that for some of the content sections, Phil, like Area 1, that has been expanded from just plain corporate governance to ERM, Enterprise Risk Management, focus on internal controls from a business point of view, and also they have introduced, Phil, business processes into Content Area 1, okay? So the allocation of the percentage of the exam on corporate governance has changed from 17 to 27% up to 20 to 30%, okay? Area 2, economic concepts and analysis, they shorten it now to just economics, and they dropped the allocation percentage there, as you can see a little bit, and we'll discuss what they took out of there in a few seconds. Area 3, no change, but you can see there too, Phil, they reduced it from 11 to 21% to 10 to 20. Not a big reduction, Phil, okay, but a little reduction. IT, of course, is big, right? Area 4 and Area 5 is operations management. You can see there's no changes there as far as the portion of the exam related to those content areas. The good news, Phil, there's still 72 multiple choice questions worth half of your exam score, 8 task-based simulations, of which 3 are written communication ones, okay? So 35% for the 8 task-based and 15% on the written communications. And for those candidates, you listening to us right now, you should really get in touch with us because we have the secret sauce for helping you on that 15% for written communication.
Now, Ron, isn't it true or has it changed that you only have to answer two? They only grade you on two of the written communications, correct?
Correct. Yeah, but of course you don't know which ones, right, Phil? No. I mean, nobody knows. So it's not time to go to the casino, right, in Las Vegas when you're doing the written communication ones. Okay, on BEC, they have kindly eliminated any regulatory framework except for the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, right, of 2002. No surprise that SOX stays on the exam. They have eliminated some general macroeconomic contents, for example, how to calculate GDP, right? I guess that's beyond a senior level accountant in most firms. They eliminated content related to the aggregate demand curve, money supply, and their impacts on the overall economy. So those have come out mainly, Phil, of the economic section of the exam. And you remember, Phil, the percentage there dropped a little bit, so that makes sense. They have simplified, quote, the testing of IT system development and maintenance and also IT continuity and recovery plans, okay? So not much of a change there.
Just what exactly does that mean? They simplified the testing of?
Well, I think the chances of it appearing, for example, in a simulation is more focused now on mobile choice, okay? Whether or not you understand what is the role of a CPA candidate in IT system and development and also future maintenance, for example, right? That, of course, the candidate should be involved, right, Phil, in IT development when it's being done within the company, because ultimately what happens? That flows through to the financial statements, okay? Maintenance, same thing. IT continuity and recovery plans, that's pretty obvious, right? If you're shut down, as we have found out recently, right, with the gas pipelines and meat packers and everything else, right? If you're shut down, it's going to be hard to do your financial statements, right? So what is the company's IT continuity and recovery plans if they suddenly run into a problem where, you know, they've been shut down by outside situations? New topics, Phil, this is big. Business processes has been introduced dramatically into BEC, not the auditing of business processes, Phil, but the controls that management should make sure they have in place over every business process inside the company, Phil. So that ranges, right, Phil, from revenues to expenditures to payroll, production, general ledger, right? All of that, which we didn't see before in BEC, is now in BEC, okay? So that's big. Data management and analysis, that's a trend we have seen coming, Phil, the last couple years, right? We're warned by the AICPA and others that data management and analysis is going to become a bigger and bigger part of the exam. And here we see it now introduced into BEC just from providing the data necessary for management to perform analysis, you know, big data, so to speak, Phil, okay? And then finally, they've also expanded the system development and change management portions of BEC. Of course, change management, that means changing programs internally. The management controls over those processes are very important, as well as system development. And actually, Phil, you can see I'm pointing to system development. That's very much related to up here, right? Systems development. So those topics are sort of intertwined in BEC.
Where did they get the information on these topics during college? Are they taught these items?
It depends on the candidate when they went to school, Phil. How recent was that? Are they required to take some type of accounting information systems, IT introduction, right? IT business process and IT strategic development type products? Some schools have that in the core, right, of their business program. Some don't. I think for the older candidates, Phil, right, a lot of this they would not have gotten in school, okay?
Will they get it, Ron?
They have to self-study it with us, Phil. That's only...
Now, have we done an in-depth analysis of this stuff? Have we written notes based on it? And yep. Could the average person who has never had this in college understand what we're doing?
Phil, that's our goal, obviously, right? I mean, the good news, Phil, is even if you're a little, you weren't in school recently and are in your 40s, let's say, probably you have exposure to these topics in your job to some extent, Phil. I'm not saying every topic there. I'm not going to pitch baloney here, okay? But hopefully in your job, accounting, finance functions, whatever you're in, hopefully you've had some exposure to these topics. And as you read our materials, you'll be able to relate to them to some extent from the job that you're working on today. That's my thought process and how we built the materials to accommodate these new topics, Phil, also. Okay, so what I didn't mention here, everyone, was, as you can see, BEC, and we know, has the most content changes. So if you're studying right now for the exam, we really recommend you study and try to pass BEC before July 1st when these new changes will come into effect, okay? Now, for the auditing exam, there are also quite a few changes, not in the areas, not in the titles of the content areas, but you can see area two, which we have found gives a lot of candidates trouble and challenges, is assessing risk and developing a response has been increased from 20 to 30% to 25 to 35%. And they took away, Phil, the reporting part, which is content area four, right, on the auditor's opinion, conclusions, and reporting. They reduced that from 15 to 25% down to 10 to 20%. Again, Phil, senior level, right? How much involvement do their seniors really have in making the final decisions on reporting and all that? It's really limited to compilations, reviews, perhaps, but not the big listed firms, okay, in the United States. So that's my theory as to why that's reduced. The good news here again, Phil, is we still have 72 multiple choice questions worth half of your score. And there's eight task-based simulations here also worth 50% of your score. And just a reminder, candidates, that the task-based simulations could include researching the AICPA or PCAOB auditing standards, which are included on your screen when you take auditing, okay? It's a drop-down on the top of your screen when you take auditing. So now let's get in more detail into the actual changes to the auditing exam. And the big one, Phil, remember business processes, Phil, from BEC? Same thing here, okay? But, of course, the emphasis here is on the auditing and internal controls associated with business processes. And there it is again, audit data analytics, okay? There they're going to provide you with a sample of output related to audit data analytics and probably ask you to interpret what those results mean, Phil. That can either be in a quick multiple choice question, we believe, or it could even be a simulation. We don't know at this point, right? Because this is new to auditing. And then finally, the service organization control reports, number one and two, Phil, that is a big part of CPA exam practices these days, right? These are service organization control reports associated with cloud computing suppliers, right? Outsource of business processes to third parties, right? Where the auditors go in and do a review of the controls over those service organization providers, and they provide a report. Well, that's now become part of auditing, a big part of auditing, and now it's being placed on the exam, auditing exam itself. So we have a lot of excellent materials we've incorporated into our new books, starting July 1 for the SOC 1 and 2 reports, including examples. What they simplified, Phil, some of it a surprise to me, but you know that's the ICPA, is the accounting and auditing requirements related to subsequent events, right? Type one and type two subsequent events. The next one I understand, developing a detailed engagement plan. Again, at a senior level, they're involved with that, but you know that goes through the managers and the partners. So that has been simplified. The preconditions for a CPA firm accepting a new audit engagement. Again, Phil, I don't think seniors have much involvement in that process. So again, they've simplified that testing. Related parties, because that's so important, Phil, to the integrity of the financial statements, that's been simplified. going concern, Phil, well, you know, that's pretty serious, right? Whether or not a going concern opinion should be issued or not. Again, that's normally done at a very high level on an audit team. Litigation claims and assessments, the, you know, assessing the lawyer's letters and stuff like that. Again, if there's big lawsuits, right, Phil, that's normally done at a very high level on an audit team. So that's been simplified. And finally, written representations required from the client and the preparation of certain compliance reports has been simplified. So that's a lot of simplification, actually, Phil. But believe me, that's been offset by the expansion of the new topics. The following topics have been removed from auditing. So, you know, the alerts restricting the use of written communication section was in there. Single statements, in other words, auditing a single year's financial statements, that's kind of a hodgepodge topic, so they eliminated it. What auditing needs to be done on the opening balances in the general ledger, right? When you go from one year to another, I guess they figured that was too mundane. Auditing derivatives, Phil, because that is such a complex subject, derivatives, they actually removed the auditing requirements related to derivatives. And that's a plus for candidates. Communicating other matters with management, communicating with the component auditors. So if you have other auditors auditing parts of a consolidated group, the communication related to that, what requirements there were, have been eliminated. And also finally, the letters required to be sent to underwriters and filings with the SEC for public stock offerings or bond offerings, again, that's been removed, and I think justifiably so for the auditing exam, okay? Our recommendation, Phil, take auditing. If you're studying now, get it done, okay, before July 1, 2021. And check out our website. We have some great videos on the current content sections for auditing you should consider acquiring right now before July 1 to help you in your studying for the auditing exam before July 1.
Any good stuff on our YouTube channel?
Yes, absolutely, Phil. You can chat about that.
Well, we have this YouTube channel where I think we have probably the best videos on the market because everything is based on the blueprints. Yep. And also we teach the concepts. So there's not, you know, look at them. If, you know, if they interest you, if the topic is giving you a problem, you know, you might want to look at it. So anyway, you want me to mention this, Ron, the FAR eliminations?
Well, I didn't want people to think that we ignored FAR and reg, Phil, especially
All right. You want to talk about them or go ahead?
I want you to cover them because you helped and you developed all of the changes there and actually helped.
I did. I stayed up to the wee hours of the morning. I remember that. Now, first of all you all enjoyed knowing those changes between U.S. GAAP and international financial reporting standards. And guess what? They took them out. Now, this is the way the exam is. These changes are effective July 1st, 2021. The difference between U.S. GAAP and IFRS will be taken out of the exam on July 1st, 2021. But if you take the exam June 30th, 2021, they can still ask you questions about differences between U.S. GAAP and IFRS. Yep. And then the subject that I've been teaching for years, I can't say I liked it or loved it, but, you know, I understood it. It was defined benefit pension plans, all right? And also defined benefit post-retirement plans. And also journal entries for derivative and hedging transactions, going concern. But then the going concern is now emphasized in what? Auditing run?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And also, discontinued operations is now a separate topic, all right? But it is testable as a component of the income statement, all right? Now, on regulation, they got rid of alternative minimum tax for corporations, but they left in the individuals. AMT is a very difficult subject, so they finally said, we're going to eliminate AMT for not only corporations, but also for individuals. And also, you no longer have to know all the information about the different security acts. The SEC Act of 34, which dealt when you issue stock in a public offering, and 34 was called the Reporting Act, which said certain reporting companies have to file, you know, certain times during the year with the SEC. All right, that's all gone. Also, tax-exempt organizations, all right? You don't have to know how you file to be a tax-exempt organization, but you have to know how to obtain and maintain the tax-exempt status. And then they did simplified testing for net operating losses and capital loss carryovers, all right? Remember, there's NOL loss carrybacks and now carry forwards. Also, another area which gave people a lot of trouble was secured transactions. You know, purchase money secured creditors, non-purchase money secured creditors. And remember what a secured transaction was. It's where you go in and you borrow money, and the collateral on the transaction is personal property. Bankruptcy and insolvency. Sounds like you're going to ask basically not that complicated a multiple choice questions on that. And also, on tax-exempt organizations, all right, you still have to know how to calculate unrelated business income, but it's supposedly going to be simplified. And you'll see, that is still in our book. We left the areas that are still tested, okay? Here are the passing grades on the different parts, all right? FAR 50%, auditing 53%, regulation 62%, BEC 66%, and next time it's going to be 100% for every part. Now, I have to honestly tell you, all right, and this is my opinion and only my opinion, these passing rates are very overstated, okay? If they had these passing rates, all right, they wouldn't have a shortage of CPAs. They'd have a surplus, okay? I don't know if this is actually the case. And you know what? I would say to myself, you know, I'm not going to study that much on BEC. Hey, 66% of the people are going to pass. That's unbelievable, all right? I don't think these rates, to me, are exactly the rates that happen in the real world, okay? But don't worry about them. They're not going to ask you to memorize. They don't want to ask you to say, what percentage passed FAR, okay? That's not going to be on the exam. Now, Ron gave us a potpourri of information about Yeager CPA Review and more. Now, that is my podcast. And by the way, I've just been told I am in the top 25 percentile of all podcasts in the nation and also overseas, all right? Top 25% on certain, you know, they do have rating services. I've been awarded number one CPA podcast on some podcast ratings, all right? And also every Tuesday on new episodes, okay? And you can listen to these for free and subscribe. You can listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And then we have a subscription program. Now, if you have passed all three parts, you have one part left, okay? And you don't want to spend money on a full-blown course, all right? You can go into a subscription plan. And for that subscription starting at $89 a month, all right, you will get everything you would get as if you bought that part of the course, okay? You get the streaming videos. You get the PDF files, all right? But if you go on the YeagerCPAReview.com website, it'll tell you, all right, what the fee is. And by the way, there is no minimum period. You must keep the subscription. So, don't go it alone. Look at us on Facebook, all right? You can see comments about us on LinkedIn, and CPA candidates write questions and answers on our LinkedIn, All right. And any questions that people do ask me, I will answer them on LinkedIn. And one thing we have is an instructor hotline. All right. Which means you can schedule with one of our CPA review instructors. Now, let me tell you who they are. You're looking at them. All right. Ron Primoroso and Phil Yeager. All right. And you can schedule with one of us. All right. And as little as 2 hours, time to talk to us. You know, what's my plan as far as studying? All right. Am I picking the right part first? That is all done. And by the way, that is included free in the gold subscription. And there's our website, www.yeagercpareview.com. And Ron, any more to share? Oh, you want to get in touch with the Yeager CPA Review course? All right. And by the way, we're in beautiful downtown Rockville, Maryland. All right. Home of rocks. That's what we have here. Just rock. No, I'm just kidding. All right. And Ron is in Missoula, Montana. Ron?
Yep. Where the Buffalo play.
All right. Where the Buffalo play. And Ron also, all right, to make some extra money, he raises alpacas. Is that true, Ron?
Yes. And bison.
Yeah. And what?
And bison.
And bison. Okay. Yes. And also, his wife is an orthodontist who works on those animals I just mentioned, the alpaca. They have some bad-looking teeth, okay? Very bad, okay? And Ron's wife has devoted her life to getting their teeth straight. That's not true. All right, here's the phone numbers to get in touch with us. You can dial 301. Remember, we're Maryland. We're on Eastern Daylight Savings Time, Eastern Time. All right. It's 874-4900. Listen to the prompts, and you'll be able to actually get in touch with me. You can call me 7 days a week. All right. I'm the only course where both Ron and I actually talk to students. All right. On the phone. All right. You can ask us questions on the phone. All right. We call that a personal relationship, don't we, Ron?
And very important.
And then why you would call on an 800 number. And the next question is why we still have an 800 number. I don't know. But if you like 800 numbers, our phone number is 824-2811. And you can reach us at info@yeagercpareview.com. Well, Ron, all right, I think you did a great job explaining this, but if you do have any questions, all right, about what you saw, Ron will be very happy to, you know, talk to you about them. And yep. Ron, how do they get in touch with you?
RonP@YeagerCPAReview.com, Phil.
Okay.
Ron, RONP@YeagerCPAReview.com. Please email me if you have any questions on our presentation today.
We have been rated, all right, by just about every affiliate marketer as the number one personal service. No one gives the service we give, okay? All right? We believe you got to talk to the students. You got to explain things to them and talk to them on the phone. And if necessary, all right, you can have a Zoom call with us. We'll do whatever it takes because I can honestly say that we really care about the students, and we care about you getting through the exam because the CPA, getting it will change your life, all right? You don't have to go into public accounting if you don't want it, all right? You can do advisory services, consulting. That's becoming a very big area right now. And obviously, artificial intelligence, cloud accounting, all those areas, all right? They were not around a few years ago, but I'll tell you, there's a big demand for it. And also, information technology is an important area, all right? So a combination of a degree in information technology or even computer science and a CPA certification, all right, can make your career so terrific that, yes, the amount you will earn will definitely change your life, okay? So anyway, I want to thank Ron Primoroso. Thank you, Ron, for doing this. All right. And I am Phil Yeager with my Mickey Mouse t-shirt. I would sing to you the song, M-I-C, but I won't do that. So anyway, thank you, everyone. We really appreciate your time, and we hope we gave you information. And good luck on the exam, whether it's July 1st or before. Take care and stay well and stay safe.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.